The following podcast is brought to you by Astro Panda Productions. For more information or to find other great shows, visit astropandaproductions.com or visit the Astro Panda Productions page on blogtalkradio.com.
So, you want to get this dumpster fire started?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'm actually going to use that. Hi, I'm Aaron.
Hi, I'm Jordan.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
For what?
For making you watch tonight's movie, Dead Alive.
Well, like I said, I probably could have gone my entire life without watching it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad I did. I took some very interesting notes.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
I kind of figured you wouldn't talk to me again after after that.
Well, I mean, I've seen worse.
I have not seen worse. No, I have seen worse because I've seen a Serbian film.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've only heard things. I have never seen it.
Yeah,
I've only heard.
It's terrible.
Yeah. All right. So, Dead Alive. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literal shit.
Yeah. There was plenty of custard.
Ugh. Ugh.
So rich and creamy.
I still, like, I get that, you know, that feeling in the back of your throat when you're about to gag? Like, that's what I'm feeling every time I think about that.
Yeah,
every,
no, I don't
every
blame
time,
you.
But we'll get to that. Dead Alive is a, believe it or not, Peter Jackson film.
Yep,
one of his earliest. Came out in 1992. The original title is called Brain Dead.
Yeah,
I don't know why they changed it, but it was originally Brain Dead. It is an hour and 44 minutes of just pure ridiculousness.
Yeah, it's utter nonsense.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it a satire, like a zombie satire film.
Yeah, this is like the ultimate B movie, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Trauma on crack. It's a really well-made shit movie, isn't it?
Well, it actually has an 86% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
It surprises me. I mean, they spent $3 million on this.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, $3 million to make fake organs and blood and
lots of blood.
Lots of
puppets.
Red food dye and ketchup and whatever else you could possibly come up with. Yeah, puppets. That's
yeah.
Like the biggest thing, which is surprising to me because they use like a claymation.
Yep, like, sparingly.
Yeah.
I think they must have done the claymation part like as a tech demo. Because
really?
Well, because they only used it in the one scene.
Oh,
everything
yeah.
else was puppetry.
That's true.
They didn't even use stop motion when we first see the simian radicus. They only use it in the zoo scene.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Which I wonder if that was kind of a hey, look what we could do. Give us some money thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that would make sense. I mean, if he's going to go on to make all of these other movies, because if you didn't know, and watching this, you would never think to yourself that this man would go on to make one of the top grossing epic sagas of our time.
The scale difference between this and Lord of the Rings is astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
well,
this was made, shit, it's only like 10 years after Dead Alive that he started those
oh my
Lord
gosh.
Of the Rings movies. That's crazy.
I didn't realize that. That's so funny. Like, how far he has come. Like, and he did a bunch of, like, really interesting films in the interim. He did The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox, which was,
that was
a
good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
And then he did several other films, and then he went on to do Lord of the Rings, which was amazing. I mean, it was just absolutely perfect as far as you can go with that. So, I mean, it's just funny to me.
We're not going
to
talk about the Hobbit trilogy?
Well, I actually like the Hobbit trilogy a lot.
Really?
Yes, I do. I'm not even ashamed. I have no shame.
I'm ashamed for you.
No, they're good. They're not the best.
They are not good.
Okay, obviously they're not the original Lord of the Rings trilogy.
They are a shitty knockoff of the Lord of the Rings movies. I didn't even watch the third one. the second one sucked so bad that I was just like, done. Just done.
I just had a good time with them. I don't know what it was, because I know that they took a lot out from the original book. They added stuff in.
Yeah.
They expanded a lot of characters that didn't really have a story in the original, you know, in the book. So I can understand where people would be annoyed with it, but I liked it.
Well, anyways, back to Dead Alive.
Just some interesting facts about all the gore. This movie is to be the bloodiest of all time, measured in amount of film blood during the production. They used 300 liters of fake blood. That was just in the final scene.
What's that in freedom units? Leaders, get the fuck out of here.
I don't know. We'll have to convert that. Okay, so we'll get to this, but during the lawnmower scene at the end, movie blood was pumped at 5 gallons per second.
Wow.
That's crazy. Isn't it insane?
That is insane.
That's a lot. And that's all going on people.
Yeah.
Like, in their faces. That's ridiculous.
That is a fantastic scene.
So, yeah. So lots of blood. So, let's talk about the premise of this movie, because I think for those who have not seen it, which...
See it. Just see it right now.
I will say, though, if you have a sensitive stomach, I'm dead serious about this. If you have a sensitive stomach at all, either skip some scenes or don't watch it at all, because you are going to be grossed out.
This movie is best enjoyed with a nice bowl of chili.
No.
And
we had to pause it so we could just eat tacos.
Yeah, that was more of a courtesy. I could have eaten all those. I could have eaten tacos and watched that all day long.
And I have a really strong stomach. And I wouldn't have gotten sick, but I wouldn't have been able to finish my food.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it was so... The blood was unrealistic enough.
Well, it's not the blood, though. It wasn't the blood.
The custard scene was pretty gross.
Okay, so let's...
That's what I think of every time I think of this movie, is that scene. Because it is the grossest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It is really disgusting. Sorry, I thought about it.
Just don't picture it.
Oh, too bad, I'm doing it. Okay, so the basic premise of this movie is that a young man's mother is bitten by a Sumatran rat monkey.
Yep, the Cibicus raticus.
She gets sick and dies, at which time she comes back to life, killing and eating dogs, nurses, friends, and neighbors. Basically, this whole town of Wellington.
Yeah.
Again, it's set in Wellington, New Zealand, so they all have fun accents, which I cannot do, and it makes me sad. I can try. It's going to be really, really embarrassing, though. So I apologize to any Australian/Kiwi listeners that we have, because it's going to be real bad. Okay, so it starts out is the country Sumatra? Okay, so it starts
good
out
coffee,
in...
coffee, bad rats.
Oh. I've never had Sumatran
coffee.
Ooh,
you should have some Sumatran coffee.
Oh, well.
Tasty.
Put that on my bucket list.
I mean, you could just go to the store. You don't have to wait till you die to do it.
So we start out in Sumatra in the jungle, and there is this New Zealand zoologist who has come to, they find this rat monkey. I guess it's rare or something. I don't know why they feel, anyway, it doesn't explain it.
They don't explain it, but it is... a good find. This guy's pretty excited about it. He's hired a guide and translator to...
We need to go back, man.
Yeah.
The guide is basically like, we need to go back. We can't have this thing. It's going to kill us. And the guy's like, shut up. I got to take it back to the zoo. I'm going to be rich. I gotta be rich. Shut up. And so then the locals... start to try and make them stop. And I have realized in a lot of movies, not just this one, but a lot of like adventure-ish movies, if the locals are trying to keep you from taking like a relic or an antique or a devil rat monkey, it's probably going to kill and, you know, curse and kill you. So just leave it alone.
Yeah,
just leave it there. It's in the jungle for a reason.
Take only pictures and leave only footprints.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's going to kill you dead.
Yep.
In the worst way possible.
It's true. Don't open any fucking tombs.
Nope. You're going to die. You're going to get sucked up by a mummy.
If you find a book in the basement bound in human flesh,
leave it alone.
Just leave it alone.
Just leave it. Leave it be. The guy is in the car and they're, you know, safely moving on. and the locals have stopped chasing them. At one point, the car hits a bump and the cage falls on the zoologist, and I guess the monkey somehow, like,
he scratched him,
scratches him or bites him.
Yeah.
And they, the local, the guides are like, he bit you, you got bit. And so they first cut off his hand, and then they see that he got bit on the arm, so they cut off his arm. And so then they notice the scratch on the guy's head, and then they cut his head off. And then the guides, I don't know why the guides didn't just leave the rat monkey.
Yeah, I don't understand that. He still took the rat monkey.
And they sold it, which I guess if it's a, you know, if they're trying to get money out of it, that makes sense. But they, like, this whole time they're like, no, we need to leave it. We need to go back. And yet they still travel with it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Well, I mean, the movie wouldn't have been nearly as good if they just left it there.
The end.
The end. And everyone was fine.
Yeah. So we go through the montage of it traveling by ship and it being unloaded and put in the zoo. And then we are introduced to the town of Wellington. And we see it's a very quaint town with giant train sets going through the middle of their town.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let me talk about the first time I watched this movie, because the train sets, that's what sealed the deal for me with this film. I was probably 14 and I rented it from Blockbuster based on the cover.
Uh-huh.
Me and some friends, we were wanting to watch a movie that night. We had no idea what to get. We grabbed that, had no fucking idea what we were in for. I mean, we didn't have a clue what it was we were about to watch. We didn't know who Peter Jackson was. We didn't. I mean, this movie was probably out 3 years by the time I saw it. When that train set came on, I lost my fucking shit. I mean, the balls, just the brass balls that it took to try and pass that train set on is the real thing. I mean, they couldn't go to a place with a train and just film it?
Well, no, because it went through the middle of the town. And I don't think he was trying to, like, make it pass. I think he was just like, let's put this train set here and see what happens.
This movie looks like an Onii-chan production.
Yeah, it, it totally really does.
I mean, he just, they could have done things to make it look more real. They didn't want to.
It's funny because the train cars are, like, super skinny. And they're long, like, and they just, like, pass by each other. And I was sitting there watching, and Aaron's like, look at the train set, look at the train set. And I was like, train set? And they passed by another, and I was like, ah!
It's so bad. For me, when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, we're in for a ride now.
It just adds a lot of charm, I feel like,
it really does,
to the movie. And then we're introduced to the film's heroine, Paquita.
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 Yeah. We never did decide where Paquita's from.
I think she's speaks from Spanish,
but she's got a gypsy grandmother.
Well, maybe the grandmother's actually Spanish and she just likes tarot cards. I don't know.
Could be.
I would say that maybe Spain.
They sure
has
made
some...
her look like a gypsy.
Well, maybe Spain has gypsies. Is that? I mean, roamers, not nomads. I don't think we can call them gypsies anymore.
We can call them gypsies.
Okay, fine. We'll call them gypsies.
I mean, if any gypsies get offended, well, fuck you. You're gypsies. Nobody likes gypsies. Get fucked. Don't you go steal a baby, you fucks. That's what they do.
Contribute to society.
Filthy gypsies. Get a job. Get a fucking job, gypsy.
And Paquita is the most thirsty girl
she is thirsty.
I've ever seen. Like, she's very infatuated with this guy who makes these pharmaceutical deliveries to her parents' store. And, you know, her grandmother reads her tarot cards and she's like, oh, you're going to meet some handsome man. And he's going to, you know, if you see the symbols of the moon and the star, you know, he's the one for you. And she's just so love obsessed. It, like, it's almost at times you're just like, girl, move on. Like, just get out of the way. You're blocking the rest of the story here.
And then in Bumble's Lionel.
Gotcha, Lionel Cosgrove. He's like, I don't know. He's just clumsy and he kind of comes off as dopey.
He's a big mama's boy.
Big mama's boy.
He's actually there putting in the grocery order for mama.
He somehow manages to, like, fumble around and mess something up to where it makes the symbol of the moon and star. Right. And she's like, oh, you're the one. You're it.
She forgets all about old Hunkers Magoo.
Hunkers Magoo. Who turns out to just be, like, a
he's Al Bundy.
Well, he's like a washed-up football player.
Yeah.
Or whatever
he's reliving the glory days every minute of his life.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, she completely forgets about him. And, well, there was something else. The grandmother had actually pulled a tarot card that was some, like, distress or despair or doom or whatever. But
something horrible is going to happen.
Yeah, and Paquita's,
but she's going to find love, so she's got that going for her.
And Paquita's like, what's that card? And the grandmother's like, oh, don't worry about that one. Yeah, so she, like, sees the symbol and she like basically walks him out of the store. He just totally forgets about his grocery order. And so then we're introduced to dear old mummy Vera.
She is just insufferable.
She is. She's like Norman Bates's mother.
Yeah.
Times 1,000. And she's like opening mail with butcher knives and like pointing at things with butcher knives and,
oh, Lionel, oh, there's a beetle under the fridge. You've got to get it. I told you to spray. Yes, mother. Sorry, mother. He's whipped. He's mama whipped.
What was the name of the society she was a part of?
The WLWL. Well, the Wellington Ladies Wellness League?
Something like that.
Something like that.
And she's very hoity-toity about it.
She's trying to be a socialite.
Yeah.
And she's just found out that she is being made the
treasurer or something like that.
She's getting a position of high rank in the WLWL.
Whatever that means.
A lot to her.
I guess.
She's psyched about it.
We kind of get a little background on Lionel. You know, he's got these visions of water, and we see pictures of his father who died, looks like a serial killer. Paquita has come by to bring the groceries, and she basically just asked him out on a date, you know, when the mother sees, and she's just very like,
she's clutching her pearls.
Yeah, clutching her pearls, spying on it. Foreign girl, yeah. Asking her son to the zoo. So then we go to the zoo and we again see Thirsty Paquita all over this guy. I mean, they're on one date and she's just all like, oh, I can't even do her accent.
Fate.
It's fate. Romantically entangled forever.
That's right. Yeah, thirsty.
I don't know why I can't do her accent. I just can't place it. I mean, I know it's Spanish, but I can't do it.
It's just really high-pitched. And terrible.
Yeah.
But she's a good actress. I think she did a great job in this movie.
Yeah, she was okay.
She was better than Lionel was.
I don't know. Lionel was...
You know who the real best... You know who the best actor in this movie was?
Who?
Lionel's mom. She was amazing.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome.
She was so good.
Especially when she had to act dead and be a zombie.
Yeah.
For those minutes... For however long.
For most of the movie.
Yeah.
This is another thing with this movie. These camera angles, they're amazing. There'll be scenes where she's talking and they're shooting up at her, you know, from underneath. And you can see her little waddle just going crazy. And it's like Peter Jackson wanted every shot to be awkward. And he wanted to catch the worst that he could of these actors.
Oh, and he totally did.
And he totally did. This movie's unsettling from shot to shot. Even if there's nothing weird going on the screen, it's awkward.
It's disorienting.
It is disorienting.
Like there's just moments where you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, if you're out to find the worst angles of a person, Peter Jackson could probably do it.
Yeah. They did so many different things. Mm-hmm. Every camera angle you could imagine was in this movie.
That's true.
Had truck shots. They had dolly shots. They had some amazing truck shots. Like, yeah. I don't know how they did some of those shots, frankly. Obviously, this house was a set, and they had all the room they could get behind them because, you know, they did some pretty cool
Well, I was thinking that because there's a scene where Lionel is mowing the yard, and he pushes the mower over the camera.
Right.
And, like, you see the blades stop spinning. Like, that's super cool.
That's what I'm talking about. Things like that.
I wouldn't even know how to do that.
Yeah. But we also had puppetry. We had miniatures. We had claymation.
Midgets dressed up in baby zombie makeup.
Lots and lots of practical effects. No digital anything on this film.
Yeah. I like that. So Lionel and Thirsty Paquita go to the zoo, and she is just all over him. And they come upon the Sumatran monkey, rat monkey. And we get a glimpse at it, and it is the ugliest thing ever.
This is our claymation scene.
Yes.
Terribly done claymation. Claymation's terrible anyways.
Yeah.
But this is especially bad. I mean, I give them kudos for trying, but ooh, lordy.
I think it would have been, I think it was a better choice than trying to do a puppet.
I don't know. They did pretty good with the puppetry. I think it would have been fine.
Yeah, maybe. But it was just it just made it creepier. I feel like it being
the motion certainly was weird,
all jagged and distorted, and
that's why I say I think that this was like a tech demo that they did to secure funding, because everything else in the movie is much better quality than that.
Well, and claymation wasn't exactly new at this point.
No,
I mean, they'd already
done
Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Well, Jason and the Argonauts was made about 30 years prior to this film, and it used a lot of claymation.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So it wasn't a new concept, but I guess in New Zealand it probably would have been, and for Peter Jackson.
I don't think they had movies in New Zealand before Peter Jackson came along.
Yes, they did. They only got electricity 50 years ago.
They just did silhouette puppets, and that was it.
With their lanterns.
Yeah.
Sheep everywhere.
Just sheep.
So they're at the zoo. They see the rat. They see that it has basically, like, is eating the other monkeys.
Yeah, it rips another monkey's arm off.
Yeah.
It punches it first, though. And it's so ridiculous.
It totally
you hear
does.
The sound effect. It's like whack. It's
the
so
sound
silly.
Effects of this movie are ridiculous, but they're awesome at the same time.
The Foley artist for this movie had to have been the best goddamn Foley artist in New Zealand.
Oh my god,
he was. The sound effects in this movie were amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
perfect.
Anytime there was like blood spatter, I mean, honestly, it sounded like diarrhea. Like, not even gonna lie, like it just was like thick but watery at the same time, and it just you know, like, did you happen to go into somebody's bathroom on Taco Tuesday? And
a lot of effort was put into it.
Yeah for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, for something that is ridiculous and something that is
but it was a labor of love. It was obviously a labor of love. It was a shit movie, but they did the motherfucker as best as they possibly could.
Yeah. Then the, you know, we see Lionel and Paquita, you know, she gets sick seeing the rat monkey eat the other monkeys, and they go to sit down, and we see that the mother has come to the zoo to spy on them.
Hold on. First we get the zookeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the zookeeper comes up and he's like,
poor little bugger.
Yeah. Story goes, these great big rats scurried off the slave ships and raped all the little tree monkeys. Fantastic.
Oh, that's a great role. Man, these bit parts in this movie, though, they're great.
Yeah.
So great. I would be proud to have a bit part in this movie and to, you know, show it off to people and be like, look what I did,
that's
guys.
That's me.
That was great.
Yeah.
Because they're all caricatures of people.
Yes.
And we talked about this
Everyone's
before.
Everyone's a cartoon character in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this before about how maybe some things were lost in translation about certain characters.
Yeah, I think some of them might have been stereotypes that we're not aware of.
Yeah, there's just a lot that I, you know, like Lionel's mother, she had an English accent. She didn't have a New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
And there were several other characters who had English accents too, which it's not uncommon for people from the UK to live in Australia, you know, Australia.
Australia. That was so bad. Whoa.
Or New Zealand. So that's not totally uncommon, but it was just funny to me how, like, all the posh people all had English accents and everyone else had, you know, weird Wellington accents.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of sleazy.
Yeah.
All of our characters are really kind of sleazy.
A little bit. Well, Lionel's not sleazy. He's just kind of...
No, Lionel's an idiot.
Yeah, he's just an idiot.
He's just a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
And he continues to be. At no point in this movie does Lionel ever become anything but a bumbling idiot hero.
He is the luckiest, unluckiest person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he stays alive through this whole thing, so kudos, Lionel.
Yeah.
But also, he just gets into these situations where you're like, how did that even happen? Like, what?
Yeah.
Where? What step did you have to take to get to this point in your life? I don't understand.
Lots of bad decisions.
Yeah, lots of bad decisions.
Yep.
So the mother, again, the mother is spying on them. She's up against the cage that is holding the rat monkey, and it bites her.
Yep.
And I have to give kudos to Vera, though. I mean, she, like, stomps the shit out of that monkey.
She stomped that fucking thing to death. No she longer did. Claymation. Now no. It's a puppet.
Uh-huh.
And its eyeballs are bursting out. It's disgusting.
But she, I mean, and she's all like, rawr, rawr. She's, like, squishing the head of this thing.
Yeah. And she recovers quickly.
She does.
She's like, take me home, Lionel.
Take me. Worst date ever.
Yeah. He just ditches Paquita. He's gone.
Yeah. And she's like, oh.
Because he's not into her.
But what about our romantic entanglement? Well.
There's only one lady for Lionel.
So anyway, he takes his mother home. The nurse comes, wraps her bandages, and he takes care of Mummy. And then later that night, Paquita shows up. And she is not quiet at all. She's like, Lionel!
Yeah.
Lionel!
Right.
And you're sitting there going, girl, hush up.
Trying to get his attention at the window.
Yeah. First, Lionel's like, look, I can't see you. My mom's too controlling. I don't have a life. And she's like, but we're supposed to be romantically entangled forever. And he's like, what's wrong with you? But,
yeah.
You know, and then
he comes around. She goes to leave and he's like, oh, what else I got? And
yeah, so I don't have much future. So you're it.
Yeah.
Paquita.
So they kiss and it's official.
Official. I mean, not Facebook official.
No.
So how official can it actually be?
Good point.
But it very quickly turns into sex, I guess. I mean, it's implied, really.
Is it?
I don't know. They have clothes
I don't know.
On. So the whole time that they're, you know, having their romantic entanglement, the mom is succumbing to this fever that she has, and Paquita's grandmother or mother, whatever she is flipping tarot cards, distress, doom, death. You know, it's just this, like, building up to something, and you're like, okay, oh, you know, they're trying to, like, build up the tension, and really you're just like, man, this is ridiculous. So
yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention about this movie is the music. The music in this movie is basically all done with a piano,
yeah,
and maybe some strings. Like,
yeah.
We could have done the score for this movie.
Very simple score.
Yeah, just, I mean, I don't even really know how to describe it.
It's almost like, it's kind of an upbeat, almost carnival music kind
of
thing.
Yeah, you know, and even in the parts where they're, you know, there's like danger or zombies or whatever, it's very like fast piano type
yeah.
music. And I mean, it really fits with it. It
yeah.
keeps it up. It makes it even more campy.
It seems like they had a grand concept for how they wanted it to be done. They just didn't have the ability to do it that way. So they just kind of went with what they had.
Well, but you got to think about it. What are you going to spend your money on? Fake blood or
they had
an orchestral
a lot
score?
Of puppets to make.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's clear that the budget was not spent on music.
No, not at all.
This was done by Peter Jackson's nephew.
Or on real trains.
Yeah.
No real trains and no real music.
Yeah.
Blood. We need all the blood. All the blood and guts.
Yeah, so I guess they couldn't afford to travel. Because they could have traveled somewhere with a train and pretended that was Wellington.
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is pre Lord of the Rings budget, you know. You can do a lot when you have all the money in the world.
Yeah.
So then we go to the next morning and Lionel wakes up to go check on his mother and we see that she is in distress and she's feverish and he goes to look at her wound and it's disgusting. It's pulsating and it's bleeding and goop and goo and it's just so gross. And this starts the fantastic tummy rumbling gore that we experience through the whole movie. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It gets a lot worse.
I think this is as bad as it gets.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the people from the WLWL show up, and Lionel goes up to his mom and tells her, hey, what are their names?
The Mathesons from the WLWL.
Yeah. And she races to the mirror and starts trying to put on lipstick, and she rips her skin off of her face. And then Lionel goes and gets some super glue and starts dabbing it on there. And it's just so wet and gross. And you've got sound effects, and it's just so gross. But that's not the grossest part.
I have to admit, though, he did a good job with the super glowing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she looked fine.
When you're at the kitchen table, I mean, she looks very sick, but you can't even see the line where her skin is coming off.
It's almost as if they didn't have the budget to make it happen in that scene. So this is the best part of this movie. The grossest, most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen in a movie.
I have to read you my notes because I was screaming the whole time I'm watching this.
She totally was.
I wrote, no! Oh my God, no! No! Holy shit, no!
That's exactly what you said out loud with gusto.
Oh my God. Because, okay, the WLWL has stopped by to, I guess, see that her house is in order and she's not a total slob. And
she's fucked up.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she looks like at any moment a body part is going to come off, and it does at some point.
Yeah.
But she is just very, very fragile looking. But also she's like,
right. She's moaning, and she's very much a textbook zombie at this point.
Yeah. She's not dead yet.
No.
But we're getting there.
Yeah.
So they're eating lunch and asking her questions about the agenda, and she's like, the WLWL, and the son's like, oh shit.
She's just rambling incoherently. Nothing she's saying makes any sense. And the woman that they're eating dinner with, you know, she's obviously showing signs of, you know, this is out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And her husband, of course, is a doofus, and he doesn't see anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. Nothing at all.
And she's like grabbing meat off of Lionel's plate, stuffing it in her mouth. And, you know, it's just all very, like, it's starting to go downhill very quickly.
Yeah.
And then they're getting done with lunch, and Lionel's trying to shoo them out the door so that he can get his mother to the hospital. And the guy's like, but what about custard? Custard!
Oh, And then the glorious custard scene.
You have to tell this because I don't think I can. I just.
Oh, I'll do it gladly. So they all are sitting there. They have their custard in little bowls in front of them, and it's yellow and it's creamy looking. And I wouldn't eat it, honestly. No. I wouldn't eat that. That just doesn't look like anything I'd eat anyways. But that doesn't matter because Vera starts poking on the wound on her hand from the rat monkey and some blood and pus, just a big glob of it, comes shooting out and flies right into Mr. Matheson's custard. He stirs it around a little bit, oblivious to the situation, gets a big old spoonful, eats it, and says, so rich and creamy.
Ugh. And that's about the point where I lost my shit. I was like, no!
And he just keeps going with it. Oh, this is the best custard I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, Vera's ear falls into her own custard.
Ugh.
She spoons it up and starts eating it, chewing on her own ear.
At which point, Miss Matheson's like, oh my. And she excuses herself to the bathroom.
She's out.
Yeah.
And Vera spits her earring out. It's disgusting. Just disgusting.
Man, I just want to be a fly on the wall when they're writing that. Like, I mean, you have to, like, just push through it and be like, and blood and guts get squirted into the custard and he takes a bite. Like, I just
can't.
Could
you imagine being on set when they filmed that?
Oh, God.
Either it was the most fun any of these people ever had, or the most disgusting thing any of these people have ever done.
I think I would have to be drunk. Or at least have taken a shot or two.
I think there was plenty of drinking on the set of this movie. I have no doubts of that.
I mean, just to even remotely go through half of the things that these actors were put through. I mean, you'd have to be just stoned or drunk out of your mind. So anyway, they get through the lunch and they leave. And Lionel's like, oh my God, my mom's falling apart. We got to get her to the hospital. And he takes her upstairs. And this is the point where Paquita comes by. And she's like, I thought you were going to call me. I tried to, where have you been? I need you. I'm so thirsty. I can't live without you, Lionel. Oh.
Yeah.
And her dog comes in and he's, you know, she's like, how's your mother? And he's like, oh, we're going to go to the hospital. And then we hear the sounds of the dog yelping and crying and freaking out. And you're like, oh my God, what just happened? And they go upstairs and the mother has eaten the dog whole. Well, she hasn't eaten it whole. She's basically torn it to shreds and then eaten it.
Right. Lionel goes in and starts pulling this dog's fur. Basically is the dog's skin out of her mouth.
Your mother ate my dog!
Not all of it.
And you see blood spatter and guts on the wall and all over the bed. And it's just, we're just going downhill from here. That's just where it goes. It's into some batshit insaneness. She's coming down the stairs because they're going to take her to the hospital, and she falls down the stairs and she dies. And, you know, the nurse is there to check on her. And she's like, sorry, Lionel, she's dead.
Nothing's ever mentioned about the dog again.
No.
We're just over that.
Yeah, we're over the dog. I mean, even Paquita's like, oh, la, 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 going to help my boyfriend get his mother to the hospital.
And they do this whole scene where Vera's come back to life and she's attacking Lionel.
She bites the nurse first. Right. Well, she pulls
she
the nurse's...
rips the nurse's head off.
Yeah, the nurse, like, it's hanging by skin on the back of her neck.
Like, and they do a really cool thing where they show the nurse's point of view and it's upside down, which I thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like that. And so we get this scene where they bump into the radio and the radio turns on and there's a radio play and Paquita is upstairs trying to find out what toothbrush to get and
get her bag ready for the hospital.
Right. And so this guy's talking on the radio. Lionel's fighting with Vera and the radio's playing. And Paquita thinks that the person on the radio is Lionel. So she doesn't know anything's going on downstairs. She's oblivious to the whole thing. She's asking him questions and the radio's answering for him. And eventually he wrestles Vera down into the basement.
Yeah.
And kicks that poor nurse down the stairs.
Yeah.
And he's got him trapped.
There was one part where his mom is choking him and she's like, which toothbrush, green or white? And instead of yelling for help, he goes, green.
Yeah. So stupid. It's just so
like you
silly.
Use your breath to say which toothbrush, but not help me. So, yeah, so she comes downstairs and she's like, oh, where's your mother? And he's like, went to hospital, you know, just off she went. And Paquita's like, oh, okay. Like, she doesn't ask questions. She's just like, oh, okay, whatever. He goes to the vet clinic and he gets tranquilizers. And we meet another caricature, a vet who is...
a Nazi.
He's a Nazi. And he's
very German.
Very interested in dissecting animals in the weirdest, most cruel way.
Yeah. And at some point he rips his shoulder and you can see that he's wearing a Nazi swastika armband under his lab coat. And they do this really stupid thing where he's got all these horns and stuff in his office, trophies and things like that. At one point he stands up and he's standing like right in front of the horns and it looks like he's got horns.
Oh, I guess I missed that part.
It's so stupid. It's like, I don't know, it feels like a Looney Tunes gag almost.
Yeah.
But it's almost beneath even this movie to do that. But they still did it.
He reminded me of the guy from Young Frankenstein. The guy who had fake arms and he constantly had to like move his hand.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of what his name was, but that's who he reminded me of. So, yeah, he goes to find a sedative and the guy's like, I'm not a doctor. but I've got tranquilizers. And so Lionel takes him up on that and gives him all of his tranquilizers, big bottles of tranquilizers, to use on the zombies that are in his basement.
Yeah.
And
it works.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Well, but it's just so funny. Like, I can just imagine them in the writer's room and they're like, okay, Lionel's going to be poking tranquilizers in the arms. No. We have to do it worse. In the eyeball.
Yeah.
In the nose.
Yeah.
As gross as humanly possible, they did it. Like, they just sat, I'm sure they just sat around drinking, being like, how can we make this the most disgusting thing ever?
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And every single time he gave her the tranquilizer in the nose.
Yeah.
Why?
It
doesn't make
gross.
Any sense. I guess it would go, like, directly into her brain, but seriously.
Quit trying to look for rationale. They did it because it was gross.
Well, and it always made that
yeah.
sound oh, that every
Foley
time.
Guy earned every penny. I hope he made more money than any of these people.
I hope so, too. So then at one point, we get to the point where she is dead, or Lionel thinks she's dead. And so...
Well, he poisons her, and yeah. then he reports that she's dead, and we have a funeral.
Oh, man.
This is where we meet the priest, Father Magruder, who is amazing. He's got the greatest bleached white wig. He reminds me of Leslie Nielsen. I always thought he looked a lot like Leslie Nielsen.
I was trying
Nielsen.
To think of who he reminded me of, but that's a good one. And he has such great facial features
yes.
and like these zingers at the end of everything that's happening.
This guy's really good.
Yeah, he's great.
He's got to be a legit actor. He did a good job.
Yeah, so everyone has shown up and Lionel's disgusting uncle shows up. And he's very obviously just the slimiest, most disgusting person.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits on Paquita and is...
He's got sores all over his mouth.
Yeah, which we didn't quite understand because they never explained, except that he's like he's a man whore.
He's some kind of sex maniac, I guess, because he's hitting on everyone.
But
so.
He's like, he's not like a good looking guy. He's
no.
like fat and he wears a toupee. And
he's got his pants hiked way up high and he's
yeah.
wearing a button down and he's got a haircut like Ricky from the Trailer Park Boys.
Well, it's a toupee.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just, you know.
He's just as slimy as they get. He's got sores, which are in different places from yeah. scene to scene, which I loved.
They're getting ready for the funeral, and the embalmer forgets her in the back room.
This is just a silly side plot that goes nowhere. It's
yeah.
just there to be gross.
Yeah.
So she's overfilled with embalming fluid.
But it's like neon green embalming
yeah.
fluid.
It just starts shooting out of her, out of yeah. her eyes, out of her mouth. The guy who's embalming her has a sandwich that was sitting on her and it gets covered in the crap and he picks it up and starts eating it.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
The funeral director comes in and he's like, what the hell have you done? And he does this little thing where he puts his fingers on her eyes and then smacks his hand and it knocks her eyeballs back in her skull. And he's like, the show must go on.
Oh, God. So, you know, they're having the funeral service and Lionel's trying to open the casket.
He wants to make sure that she's dead. And she's not.
She's not. She's not dead at all. At 100% not dead. And there's this whole scene where they're like wrestling on the ground and they like...
They eventually bust through the wall into the room where the funeral is taking place. And
the priest, he says his line where he's like, well, she will lay for eternity.
And then they come busted through the wall.
Yeah.
And by this point, he's already tranked Vera again.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of everybody attending this funeral, he's just slamming his dead mother's corpse through a wall. And he ends up on top of her, and it's just real... awkward.
Yeah, yeah. And I think... Okay.
And the uncle just starts cracking up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious. They buried her, and Lionel goes out to the graveyard to make sure she's still dead, because he knows
right.
at this point that the tranquilizers are not working.
Right.
They're very short-term. We also have some greasers.
Yeah.
Basic stereotypical greasers.
Which includes the amazing Jed Brophy.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this guy until you spotted him.
Yeah, he's been with Peter Jackson probably some from the very beginning. Yeah. I mean, he's done mostly bit parts. He was a featured orc in the Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. For those of you who actually watched the movie, it's the part where Merry and Pippin are captured by the Rurikai, and one of the orcs says, they look at the hobbits and they say, "What about them? They're fresh." That's Jed Brophy.
He's the scrawny orc.
Yes. And then he played Nori in the Hobbit movies. There were other parts that he had. His son has been involved in several things with Peter Jackson. So, I mean, they're in pretty tight with PETA.
Was he in Peter Jackson's other awful movies from the 90s, like Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I want to say yes.
Probably.
But yeah, so he mostly...
The impression I get is that he is Peter Jackson's Jason Mewes.
Yes, yeah. He mostly just plays bit parts, but he plays awesome bit parts because this part, the bully's name is Void.
Yeah, it's a great name.
He's a great character actor. He pretty much does all of his own stunts. And I mean, he's pretty much down for anything.
He was honestly great in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. At one point, he's making fun of Lionel and talking about how he's a mommy's boy and all of this stuff, and he's peeing on the mom's grave, at which point the mom reaches up and basically rips his crotch out.
Yeah. Basically pulls him into the grave by his crotch.
Yeah.
And then throws him across the cemetery.
And she comes out of her grave, obviously, and
she blasts out of her grave with a puff of fog. She shoots out. That every zombie that comes back from their grave in this movie, and this happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they explode out of the ground with a puff of fog.
Poof.
It's kind of amazing. They shoot out and land on their feet.
Very rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So she, you know, she goes around biting all the bullies who are then turning into zombies. And Lionel's like, "Oh, shit, I don't know if I have enough tranquilizer for everyone. Oh, what am I going to do?" Thus enters Father Gruder, who is basically like, "I kick ass for the Lord."
It's the greatest thing. And this is a very well choreographed scene. He's doing like dragon kicks and shit, like flying through the air. And it's all done with ropes and pulleys. And it's absolutely fantastic.
It's
you
perfect.
Don't see any of the apparatus that they use to do this. I'm amazed at what they did with this movie. As bad as it is, they put so much work into it.
They did. They did. Yeah, so he's kicking ass for the Lord. And Lionel's like, "Oh my God, I'm so
glad
you're
here." He's dropping one-liners left and right.
He is. He is. And then one of the zombies, I guess, somehow lost his head. Like, his head got cut off.
Yeah.
And of course, the dismembered head has to fly through the air and bite the priest.
Right.
Who then turns into a zombie. I mean... He had his moment, and then he, you know, died like everyone else.
He was fantastic in life as he was in death, because he is my favorite of the zombies.
Well, yeah. I mean, he gets it on with the other zombie.
That's
right.
He's got
some moves.
Yeah, he gets it on with the nurse zombie. Yeah. Okay, so Lionel's got him down in the basement, and he's got him all sat around the dinner table, and he's feeding him. Like you do.
Use your fork, Void.
He's got... like some gruel that he's slopping onto their plates. And of course the nurse zombie, well, her head's only halfway on, so she's eating the gruel and it's slipping out of the slash in her neck.
God, why does it have to be food?
So Lionel pulls her head back because it kind of dangles, it's on a hinge, and just starts slopping the gruel on her neck stump. Kind of haphazardly, and then he puts her head back on and calls it a day.
Oh my God. So he's got Father Gruder, the nurse, his mom, and Void.
That's right.
He's got four zombies.
Yes.
That he's babysitting, basically. And the Father Gruder zombie is getting all kinds of fresh with the nurse zombie.
Yeah, they're making eyes at each other.
So I wanted to point this out too, because I feel like these are like collectible card characters.
Yeah.
Like, you've got nurse zombie.
These are Garbage Pail Kids.
But yes, and you can collect all the cards and you can make a game out of it, and if you collect them all, then you're the nerd of the year.
And you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make these cards, and we will distribute them via our Patreon.
Ooh,
if
yes.
You want your Dead Alive collectible card PDF. Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta donate. You gotta go on down to Patreon, and I'm gonna hook you up with that.
Yeah, because we have several artist friends that would probably love to do something like this. I mean, I at least know two people who would be willing to do something like this.
Yeah,
so.
we're going to make this happen.
Yeah, I'm super excited now because I want to collect them all. So the zombie freshness turns into zombie sex.
Yes, which is, I believe, a first.
Yeah.
And maybe an only.
Maybe, probably.
No, in Return of the Living Dead 3. The dude has sex with the zombie girlfriend.
Yeah, but he's not a zombie.
That's true. This is zombie on zombie sex, which, by the way, produces something that's definitely a first. A zombie baby born of two zombie parents.
Yeah, in my notes, I wrote zombie babies all in caps with question marks, like 10 question marks.
It's insane. Think about this. I mean, we've all taken biology classes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this ain't happening. And even if two people who are zombies were to produce a baby, wouldn't it just be a normal baby?
No, it would be because we're going to get technical and kind of gross. I mean, we've already been talking about pus and blood, so just deal with it, okay? If you don't like it, cover your ears, children. Okay, so first of all, you have to think about...
If you're a child, turn this off. Turn this off and unsubscribe, please.
You have to think about the biology of it. You have to have a zombie boner.
Yep.
You have to have zombie jizz.
Yeah.
So therefore, if it's zombie everything, you got to have a zombie baby. That's the only way about it. She's got zombie eggs inside of her uterus.
I suppose you're right.
That's the only way it would work, Aaron. I mean, I can't imagine it any other way. I mean, why would it come out a normal human being? I mean, two zombies don't make a normal human being.
Well, but I mean, I guess the zombie virus is fucks with your DNA.
I guess so. I mean, if you had like a human and a zombie, you might would have like half human, half zombie hybrid, which doesn't really make sense because it's two dead people.
Yes.
You can't have a half living, half dead baby.
We shouldn't think too deeply on this.
No,
Jordan.
No. I think they were just trying to go for the shock factor of.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, and it's funny because Lionel gets called out into the kitchen because his uncle comes by. Basically, to scope out the place and
he's working on scamming Lionel out of Vera's estate.
Yes. And you only can hear the zombies having sex, but right. It's very graphic sounding.
And the zombies, not only do they have sex, but this child is born all during the course of this conversation.
Yeah, it's like a couple hours.
If even that.
I mean, good grief. Yeah.
The gestation process of a zombie is very fast.
Well, and what's funny is like when Lionel finally gets rid of his uncle, he goes down to the basement.
His uncle's trying to get into the basement door because they can hear him. They can hear the zombie screwing. He's like, oh, what, Lionel? Did you find your father's stag films? And it's going back and forth between him and Lionel. And every time it cuts to Lionel and then back to him, his syphilis sores are in a different place on his face. Every time.
Yeah. It's disgusting. He goes down to the basement and he sees the nurse. The nurse is the one that gets preggo.
Right.
And she's lying on the ground and she kind of smiles at him all weird like. And Lionel finds the baby in the radio, or was he behind the radio and he punched through?
It was in the baby was in the radio. Now, the version that we watched, I downloaded, I purchased.
good save.
And this was the DVD version.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I watched this, it was on VHS,
mm-hmm.
and I very clearly recall there being a birth scene.
Ooh.
It wasn't very graphic. But there was something in between the conversation and the baby being in the radio. I don't quite remember what it was.
So, okay, did she give birth in the radio?
No.
Or did the baby crawl in the radio?
She gave birth and the baby instantly crawled away.
Oh.
So this, there was no Goo Goo Gaga phase. This baby was mobile immediately.
He looks like, what's his face from the Goonies?
Sloth.
So he looks like Sloth.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah.
And
but way less. If there's yeah. a, if there was
well,
a way that
he was covered in slime and had sores, and I mean, this is a pure zombie child.
Yeah.
Nothing good about this kid. And he's a feisty little fucker too.
Yeah, and he like runs around. He's like, eh, 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 eh,
eh. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Lionel takes the zombie baby to the park right. in the middle
As you
of
do.
The day.
Okay, so why? Why do you take the zombie baby to the park?
I don't know.
Did he get like? Did he kind of take a shine to the kid? He's like, oh. I'm going to take you to the park.
Well, he had to put it in the carriage and then put barbed wire around the kid.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. And so, you know, he's watching the other mothers and he's trying to copy what they're doing, trying to make it look normal. And the kid escapes somehow, you know, and...
The carriage rolls down a hill.
Oh, that's right.
And you've got that bum that's like, yeah! They keep cutting to this bum for no reason. And he's yeah. just, and it's obvious that the shots of the hobo were taken with a different camera on a different day in a different place.
Yeah.
I don't know why he had to be in this. I imagine he's a friend of Peter Jackson's.
Probably.
Or maybe some kind of cameo. Maybe he's a popular New Zealand actor. I don't know. But they went to great efforts to put this man in this movie.
Yeah. And then we proceed to see Lionel chasing the kid around and punching him and throwing him on the ground.
He picks him up and beats him up against the pole for the swing set. And there's a part where they of course do the seesaw thing where uh-huh. where the baby ends up on the seesaw and ends up getting flung across the park.
Ah.
So imagine filming this scene. You're Lionel.
Yeah.
And you've got this doll and you're just swinging it around and punching it.
Well, but also somebody had to puppet that thing. That must have been delightful.
Yeah. Well, there were points in this scene where it was a midget, too, in a suit.
Yeah, running around in a pinstripe or a red and white pinstripe.
This baby is size agnostic. Sometimes yeah. he's tiny, sometimes he's about the size of a midget.
Yeah. But it's funny because anytime that they shoot the zombie baby as like he's running around, they have the camera like at an angle.
Yeah.
So you can't get a good perspective.
They try to make him look smaller.
Yeah. But you can very clearly tell that it is a bigger
It's a person.
Person.
It's moving like a person. It's not a puppet.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's just so cool.
So they used midgets in this film, which I always love.
Or at least one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just so funny that everyone is watching Lionel beat the shit out of this baby and no one calls the cops. No one stops
him. At the end of that scene, he walks past two mothers that are looking at him in disgust and he says, hyperactive. And one of them just... One of them just looks at him like, oh, okay. That explains everything.
I have to say, though, sometimes the accents were a little bit too New Zealand-y, and I couldn't understand what they were, like, half of what Lionel was saying.
Yeah.
And I was always like, wait, what did he just say? Because I didn't know that he said hyperactive. I don't know what he said.
That line in particular was almost inaudible. I mean, it didn't sound like human...
Yeah.
Speech at all.
There's several places that I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, one or two. I mean, I had to think about it for a minute, but I figured that one out.
So he manages to get the baby back home and, you know.
In a sack.
In the sack.
He puts the baby in a sack and starts beating the sack.
So he gets home and Lionel's uncle is waiting for him and he's basically like, you know, you have to give me the inheritance and the house or otherwise I'm going to. You know,
well, he found all the zombies down in the basement.
That's right.
And they were sedated. So as far as he knows, Lionel's just got a collection of dead bodies in his basement,
yeah.
including his own mother.
Yeah. So he's basically like, either give me all the money in the house or I'm going to expose you and you're going to get thrown in the loony bin or go to jail. And Lionel's like,
okay.
Okay, fine.
Well, yeah, he goes and picks up the phone. Calls 999 or whatever the emergency number is in Oz.
999.
He's sitting there looking at Lionel. Lionel's like, okay, you can have the house. And he hangs it up.
Yeah.
Blood is thicker than water.
At this point, he goes to get more tranquilizer.
Yeah.
And Paquita sees him, and he tries to hide behind the car, but then the car moves.
First thing he does when he sees her, yeah. a trolley comes by, and when the trolley passes by, he's gone. But there's a car kind of off to the left of center of the scene, mm-hmm. which also takes off. And Lionel's in the fetal position, kind of huddled up next to the car.
Yeah, with a big, huge bottle of tranquilizer tucked in his coat.
He's like, oh, I didn't see you there.
Yeah, and she comes out and she's like, I tried to call and you never answered the door. And I thought we were in love with our romantic entanglement. And he's like, look, I just can't. And he looks horrible. Like, he hasn't had any sleep.
He's got blood all over him.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks disgusting. And so he's basically like, look, we just can't see each other anymore. And she's just like, she starts crying. And there's a scene where the other guy comes in and punches Lionel in the face and is like, don't ever touch her again. And so he goes back to the house and the uncle is like bribing him out of the house and blah, 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 which he instantly invites all of his friends over.
Yeah.
Which I'm sitting there going, how does a guy who very clearly has an STD have so many friends?
Well, and he's come in from out of town.
Yeah.
Did he phone up all of his friends and say, come on down to Wellington and
I have no
idea. I'm throwing a party.
I thought it was just all local people.
And it's a bunch of young kids.
Yeah.
And girls. And they're all dressed like they're in the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. It's awesome.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just so strange to me that, you know, this sleazy, syphilis face covered looking jackass,
slime ball.
Yeah, has all of these friends that come to the house, and so we can kind of, you know, there's a lot in here that happens.
Yes.
And to go through each scenario would probably take us forever. So we're just gonna condense it down, and we're gonna say. Lionel, the jar that he gets from the vet's office is actually not tranquilizer.
Right.
It is animal.
Well, it's a poison.
It's a stimulant.
See,
because
he wants to kill these zombies. He wants to end this once and for all. So he's got some poison that he's going to use. And so we go through this whole scene where he says goodbye to his mom and he injects her through her nose with the poison and she dies. And then he gets interrupted by his uncle and...
Well, because Paquita actually comes to the party. Like, she leaves her date, her fair weather football glory days weirdo date. And she comes to the house and, you know, there's a whole thing where the uncle is trying to basically rape her.
Yeah.
And she
kicks... he's a rapist too, apparently.
Yeah, gross. And so she kicks him in the nuts and she goes to find Lionel.
This is the first time that he gets kicked in the nuts.
It happens like 10 times.
I counted. It's 8. He gets kicked in the nuts 8 times before the end of this
sequence. I was close.
Yeah, you're very close.
And so she ends up going downstairs and finding Lionel and all the zombies. And she's like, oh my God, the curse, the surrounded by death. Like, she's just like still going on about how this is her true love. And this is, you know, meant to be. Thirsty bitch.
Apparently she's just that superstitious.
I guess so. I don't know.
Because she didn't give a shit about Lionel until... the prophecy.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like giving him
the
stink eye.
Which was a half-assed prophecy in the first place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's there supporting him and they bury all the bodies and both her and Lionel go upstairs and the uncle finds them and he's like, I'm gonna get you, you bitch. And basically locks them both down in the, well, no, he just locks Lionel down in the basement and he takes Paquita to, you know, be a horrible person too.
He drops the bottle and it rolls a little bit and he's on the ground somehow.
Because he got thrown into the basement.
Yeah. And the bottle rolls, revealing on the back, it says, warning, animal stimulant.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, shit. And this is when the shit just, I mean, the dam breaks. Because all the zombies come back and they are stronger than ever.
They blast off out of their graves.
Land on their feet.
Ruh. Yeah.
You know,
they're super zombies.
Like Mortal Kombat characters.
All but Mom. We don't see Mom yet.
No, we don't see Mom yet. But everybody else has come back and they're, you know, starting our card collection. And Basically, what happens is that everybody except Lionel and Paquita is killed in the worst way possible.
Next half hour of this movie is just amazing, bonkers, gory, murder after murder. You've got a scene where a man gets his rib cage ripped out.
Yeah.
And it was very gross and very slimy and visceral, and there was meat everywhere.
You see a girl get punched through the back of the head through her mouth. So that's one. Yeah.
You see a girl who gets her head smashed into a light bulb.
Oh, and the light bulb. Jack-o'-lantern zombie.
Yeah.
Another card.
The light bulb is flickering. So, and she's in a lot of scenes. You just see her in the background squirming around and her head is flickering yeah. with light from this bulb.
Jack-o'-lantern zombie is going to be a special edition one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a super collectible card. I'm excited about that one.
We've got the baby zombie running around uh-huh. causing all kinds of mischief.
Yeah. You have a guy that was skinned alive, but only like half of his yeah. body.
He was trying to hide in the dumbwaiter, but a bunch of zombies pulled him out.
Yeah.
And it just like degloved his lower
all
torso.
All you see is his bones.
Yeah. And he's kind of wiggling them around yeah. and shit. It's so gross. Oh, and you've got the monster that's made up entirely of organs.
An Void's organ puppet.
Yeah. That's right. It was Void's organ puppet.
Because he gets
farts
pulled
everywhere.
Ugh. Why? Why does there have to be a farting organ zombie?
And when the organ zombie first comes to be, it looks in the mirror and it's got a pair of lungs for wings. And it looks at itself and kind of starts gooing and gawing. And you hear
self-actualization for the organ zombie.
And you hear like lullaby music yeah. in the background. Like it was just bored.
It's just a vignette of everybody dying in the grossest ways possible. Yeah.
We have the infamous lawnmower scene. If yes. you talk to anyone about this movie that's seen it, they're going to bring up the lawnmower scene, which is perfectly understandable. Although I would say that at this point, it's kind of tame in comparison to the shit yeah. we've already seen. But this is where all the fake blood was used. I heard that they ran out of fake blood when they were doing this scene.
Well, yeah, and I mean, so he just comes in with the lawnmower, and what does he say? He says, "Party's over."
Yeah, that's right. He says, "Party's over," and then he fires up the lawnmower, which he's got strapped to his chest, and he just starts walking through the horde of zombies, and there's body parts and meat and gallons of fake blood just flying everywhere. Oh, and they do this—they do that one part where he's trying to run. But he's slipping on the blood, and he's just basically running in place like a Looney Tunes character.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, and we also have the organ zombie hooks its anus around Lionel and pulls him up into the ceiling and then drops him. Lionel lands head-to-head with a zombie that explodes. It's so nasty.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you thought that Quentin Tarantino used gallons and gallons of blood, just watch this movie.
Oh, no. This makes Quentin Tarantino look like Wes Anderson.
And all of this blood is going in this actor's face.
Yeah.
Like, all of the actors are just getting squirted and sloshed with blood and probably like ground beef and yeah. ketchup and anything they can to make it look as disgusting as possible. I have to say, though, that was probably hella fun to make.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was. I would hate to be the guy who had to make all those fake arms and legs, though, because there's a lot of them. Like, there's a pile of... Okay, so the uncle goes mad-ass with a couple of knives and chops up, like, a dozen zombies into little pieces, which he's got in a pile.
Yeah.
And all the arms and legs are twitching and shit. So cool.
Yeah. And
how do they do that?
I probably laughed way, way too hard at Lionel using the hand to pull the
chain on the lawnmower.
Yeah, because he's fallen over and he's got the lawnmower on top of him, and Void, the zombie Void, has half of his body is like on top of the lawnmower, and he's trying to grab Lionel, and he can't reach the pulley, and so he gets a hand and
he grabs a random hand off the ground.
He gives himself a hand.
Shit.
And he pulls the pulley, and it just spins Void until he's, you know, nothing.
Well, he just starts spinning with the lawnmower, until Lionel grabs his hand and then it starts grinding him up. And we get to see Void inch by inch sliding down into the lawnmower, and there's just blood shooting out. It doesn't even look realistic at this point. It's just like streams of blood obviously coming out of a hose.
Yeah.
And it's just great.
Well, and there's
They've got him lit from behind, and you can see all the blood, like, in silhouette almost. It's disgusting.
It's great. It's great. The girlfriend, Paquita, she's been in the kitchen the whole time fighting off other zombies and trying to protect the girl that's with her. And the baby zombie comes into the kitchen, and he's in the blender. And for half a second, she's like, oh, no, I can't turn the blender on because it's a baby. And he throws up all over her.
Yes.
And she's like, bitch. And she goes to turn it on.
And the baby starts running
in
the blender. The whole baby thing, it's like watching Sylvester and Tweety almost.
Yeah, it's just very slapstick
with
this baby. I mean, it's kind of actually perfect. I mean, it just adds like that special little ridiculous element to it that you know.
You
don't see in other movies.
It brings, in a very twisted way, a bit of levity.
Well, because the baby is not scary anymore at this point.
No.
Like, you just see him and you're like, oh, son of a bitch, zombie baby.
Yeah.
You know, running away and killing people. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So then he has killed all the other zombies, thinks that he's won and he's defeated all the zombies, and now he can get Paquita and go live his life. But then Mom decides to join the party.
Yeah. Mom is like two stories high, enormous, nude.
God.
We've got giant puppet titties and a big old giant puppet belly.
And a ass.
Yeah, big old giant puppet ass.
Oh,
and it's,
my God.
This is a scene straight out of Meet the Feebles, which you haven't seen.
I have not.
But it's just as bad, only with more puppets.
Yeah. I can't even imagine how many people it took to first make that thing and then puppet it around to walk and then move its arms and its mouth. Like,
yeah, that was definitely a difficult puppet.
That is insane. I mean, again, I just wanted to be in the writer's room and they're like, all right, so we're going to have Mom and she's going to be naked and we need someone to puppet the tits. Like, really? Like, who is sitting there coming up with this idea? I don't know if I want to slap them or if I want to shake their hand, because it's just, wow.
Out of this whole movie, the only thing that really disturbed me was Mom. I mean, a lot of it was gross, but it was funny.
Yeah.
This is just gross. Like, this is just sickening. It was a bad puppet. Like, it wasn't,
well,
it wasn't
on purpose,
a very well-made puppet at all.
Yeah.
I guess she was just kind of beat up and there were pieces missing from it. And
well, her, like, half her face is sliding off the giant horse skull that she suddenly has.
Right. Yeah. I found the Mom puppet to be very disturbing.
Yeah. And she chases them up to the roof. And in the middle of all of this, he decides to face up to her because he finds some stuff in the attic.
Yeah, he finds out that she murdered his father because he was sleeping around.
Yeah, yeah. So everything that he remembers about the drowning and being afraid of water was actually not in the ocean, but in their
bathtub. Yeah.
And this is the moment of all the moments that he chooses to face up to her. And it's so funny because we're watching this and he's like, tell me the truth. And she starts talking.
Yeah.
Like she
in
starts
in her normal voice almost.
And I was like, are you kidding me? And Aaron goes, so this is the point where you feel like the movie's jumped the shark?
Yeah. Everything else was fine.
Yeah, you could have totally done without it.
Yes.
I mean, it wouldn't have made an iota of difference to have this little subplot of what happened to his father, but they decided to put it in the movie. I don't know why.
I think it was a bad move.
Yeah, it just took away from it for whatever reason. She, like, sucks him into
her
belly.
Her
doing
belly splits in half, and it's got teeth. It's like a Venus flytrap.
Yeah, and she does, like, a retroactive birth.
Right.
Type thing.
Yeah. She sucks him in and then closes up with him inside.
Yeah. And you think for just a second that the hero has been destroyed and Paquita's like, no. Lionel, no, my love, my eternal romantic entanglement. And she's, the mom's like, you little slut. And she tries to reach for her. And then at this point, Lionel's like, bitch. And he busts out of his mom's stomach, which
he cuts his way out of her with the amulet that the old Spanish gypsy woman gave him.
Yeah, to keep him safe. All of her, you know, guts and stuff are on the roof, and
she just explodes into blood. It's just it's just blood everywhere. House is on fire. The zombie that had the light bulb in the back of her head burst into flames.
I forgot about that.
The next scene is Paquita and Lionel, and they're standing outside. Mm-hmm. Fire department's there. And it shows the baby alive, well, as alive as the zombie baby can be, in the fire, laughing. The baby survived. Peter Jackson was perfectly willing to do all of this shit, but he wouldn't kill a baby in his movie.
But, I mean, it was a son of a bitch zombie baby. What does it matter? Obviously, it does matter
because the baby, we did not see it die.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Maybe they were setting it up for Dead Alive 2.
Oh, man.
Deader and Aliver. Can
you imagine, though, like a Dead Alive 2 with today's technology?
I would love to see this movie remade.
Although I think he would probably do it the same way if he decided to do something like that. I think it would cheapen it by doing like CGI nonsense.
No, definitely would have to be done with practical effects. But with modern cameras and digital process, I think the movie could be improved upon.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that same Peter Jackson anymore.
No.
This isn't the Peter Jackson that took $3 million and made what I would argue is one of the most thorough movies ever made.
Yeah.
It knew what it wanted to do and it did it till it was done.
Yeah.
We went from this guy to the guy that ruined The Hobbit.
Stop it.
No, if I'm being honest with you, it was not Peter Jackson that ruined The Hobbit. It was the studio.
Oh, of course. I would definitely agree with that. So yeah, their house is burning down. They kiss with blood and guts all over them, and they go and live happily ever after.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
That's the end of the movie.
The credits were rolling, and Aaron was like, "Well, did you hate it?" And I was like, no, I didn't hate it. I just,
you
I don't know how I feel,
you
actually.
You didn't know what you were in for.
No.
You know, I felt kind of bad about that because I knew that I was doing this to you. I knew that I was about to inflict this movie upon you. But I'm glad you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. Like I said, I don't
know.
It was
a well-made movie. For what it is.
Yeah, because it was made campy on purpose. Like, there's a difference between a movie that is taken too seriously and it ends up being campy, and then there's a movie that is made campy to be campy on purpose.
And as campy as this movie was, all of the practical effects were top-notch. We have the one claymation part that was bad, but other than that, this movie was shot well.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of interesting things that we haven't seen done before.
Mm-hmm.
They did some things that didn't work too. There were some bad angles in there, but there were a lot of good angles too. There were a lot of good shots. The fight scenes were very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
You had the priest flying around and doing fucking dragon kicks and shit, and it looked good.
Kicking ass for the Lord.
Yeah. And you had amazing acting like that guy.
Uh-huh.
And, The girl that played Paquita was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel was okay. The uncle was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the King Joffrey of this movie. You know, he's probably not an asshole, but if you ever see that guy out on the street, you're going to be like, that's that fucking asshole, because he did such a good job.
Man, I enjoyed giving him STD nicknames. Syphilis Steve, Gonorrhea George, Hepatitis Henry.
Pustule Pete.
Ew, that's awesomely terrible. But
I think I won.
Yeah, I think you did. That was good. Although I like Syphilis Steve a lot.
Syphilis Steve's pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Dead Alive. I mean, I like I said, I don't really know how I feel about it. I probably won't watch it again, you know, just to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But it was fun, for sure. I had a lot of fun watching it. I laughed a lot. It was fun pointing out the really terrible, you know, like the train sets and the puppets and the midget baby that ran around. Like, that stuff was fun. And
yes, the train set scene was absolutely a blast.
Yeah. And so if you go into it knowing that you're getting into campiness and not actual terrifying anything,
you don't have to go into it knowing it, because they're gonna let you know immediately. Yeah. With the train scene.
Well, especially, like, I felt it immediately with the camera angles, like, yeah, when they're in that valley in Sumatra, like the very first camera angles, you're like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
What am I watching? So, and it, like, it harkens to stuff like Evil Dead. Yes. And Reanimator. Yes. And just all of these different really wonderful films. I think that speaks a lot for it if you put it up there, because Evil Dead is definitely a fan favorite when it comes to both Bruce Campbell and to horror movie watchers. And so when you put it up against that, I feel like it's, you know, it holds its own on that, in that respect.
Yeah. And then at the end of it all, you realize that this was done by Peter fucking Jackson. And you just have to go, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah.
And how did he go from that to Lord of the Rings in just 10 years?
Well, it makes me want to watch his other really, like, his earlier films. It really makes me want to watch. What is
Bad
it?
Taste.
Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles?
That's right. I've seen them both.
Huh.
Dead Alive is the best of the three. Feebles was just gross. Like, it was all really gross sex stuff.
Oh.
That I'm not into.
Lame.
And Bad Taste was fine. It was about an alien. It was really bloody, just like Dead Alive, but it was much less of a movie than Dead Alive.
Okay.
It's all talk.
Yeah.
It's mostly talk with a little bit of stuff going on, but it was fine. I would definitely recommend, if you like Dead Alive, watch Bad Taste.
All right. Well, I'll have to buy it somewhere.
Right.
Because we don't pirate things.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
So should our audience watch this film?
I would say yes.
Yeah, me too.
I would definitely say yes. You know, if you're squeamish, don't watch it while you're eating. If you're not squeamish, eat all the tacos while you watch it. It'll be fine.
So that's it.
Yeah.
You want to tell the folks about where they can find us?
You could find us everywhere.
Yes.
Just look behind you right now.
We're right there.
No, not really.
Boo.
Anyway, so you can...
I'm glad that you told them that we're not really there in case they were worried.
I don't want to scare them.
I
mean, we just took them through the most turbulent zombie movie ever. I don't want them to be scared. You never know. So you can find us on Twitter at DFire Cinema. You can send us a lovely email if you choose at dumpsterfirecinema@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at Dumpster Fire Cinema.
Yep.
We also, our Patreon is patreon.com/DFireCinema.
Yeah. Yeah. Sign up, donate. At the $5 tier, you will get access to our music episodes. And in a few short weeks, the Dead Alive collectible trading cards will be available.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
so
going to be.
Get on it.
That's going to be
great.
Get
up there. Give us some fucking money. We ain't doing this for the love. We need your cash.
Yeah, because
pay us.
We have drug problems.
Fuck you. Pay me.
Well, thank you so much for listening.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, if you want to find any of the stuff we do, go to onichanproductions.com.
Yes, yes, where you can find our lovely other podcasts and our videos and all of our other crap that Mike can't stop making. I swear to God.
He's just cranking
that
shit
out. He's got too much time on his hands.
He gets paid for that shit.
I know.
Can you believe that?
It's sad. It's just, I hate him.
Yeah. He sucks.
Yeah, and you can...
Say hi, Mike.
Hey.
That's Mike from Very Dark, Very Quick. He's in the studio.
Yeah, there. You guys are going to be recording.
Very rare to see these worlds colliding here.
Oh, I know. It's...
I double booked.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll see you later.
Bye. We love you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dumpster Fire Cinema. Be sure to tell your friends. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.